Love the Friday flavor. Hey, there's a chance that the whole impeachment thing could end tonight. We'll talk about that a little bit later on, but right now we've got very special guest in the studio, State Senator Dennis Baxley in the House. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good to be with you. Yeah, and I've been in the House, and now I'm in the big house here.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, we appreciate it. Look, anybody who knows anything about the Second Amendment, gun rights, or anything else knows, I think, where you stand. You're not just a guy who's maintained our Second Amendment rights, which, correct me if I'm wrong, in the Declaration of Independence, it talks about these rights coming from the Creator. Government's role is to protect those rights. And I know you've not just maintained some of those rights, you've actually helped us to expand on gun rights in the Sunshine State. And for that, I thank you.
Well, you're more than welcome. And it really comes back to, what do you really believe? And I truly believe that this is a freedom issue. The reason it's so deep with people is they realize the freedom to take responsibility for yourself and others underlies the whole platform of life in America and what makes it different. And that Second Amendment, we call a lot of things rights, but that one is in the Constitution, the United States Constitution. And you're right, I view it as a natural right that human beings should be able to protect themselves from harm and protect others. And that kind of society of where they take responsibility for each other and their protection is a much safer society. And that language is pretty clear. It says shall not be infringed, and we're infringing the heck out of it, quite frankly, with about 20,000 gun laws in the country. And you know, if you give up liberty for security, you usually wind up with neither. That's Ben Franklin.
Nor do you deserve.
That's
deserve
right.
Neither.
Ben Franklin is very clear about that.
Yeah. Well, and because he was very smart, and maybe he realized that bad guys are bad guys, and that when you institute laws, the only people who obey them are law-abiding. Generally, they're not the problem to begin with.
Well, I've really tried to analyze why people are so different. You know, I do try to understand where my opponents are coming from on this. And it's really a lack of that base understanding, and it kind of follows a continuum. If you have core rural values, hometown values, you understand this core American sense of self-determination and how essential it is for people to succeed. In a more urbanized, where if you've grown up in that value system, there's this chance that you just expect somebody's supposed to be taking care of that for you, because you're more dependent in an urban setting. And I think that kind of sets off a different expectation of the relationship with government. What I want from government is leave me alone, you know. And what other people want is government to take care of every problem in their life, which is impractical. Can't happen. And we need this. There's things that we can help with. There's things that we can facilitate with. But it really comes back to this all started for me back in the 80s, the Genovese case in New York, where this lady was beaten over about 45 minutes, beaten, raped, killed in this complex in the courtyard. And everybody's looking out their windows. I remember this article about it saying, how are all these people right there? And this goes on for almost an hour, and she loses her life. And everybody's looking out the window saying, somebody ought to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's the difference. And I like the guys on the airplane that drove it in the ground in Pennsylvania that said, let's roll. You know, we may be going down, but we are not going to let this happen. We have to take responsibility for ourselves and others.
Bad things happen when good people stand by and do nothing.
That's the hesitation. And the contrast is, that's the difference in a massacre and an incident. And, you know, you look at this church in Texas where there was a group of people prepared, and in 6 seconds this man stopped what was happening. So you had a casualty, you had a serious incident, but you did not have a massacre of 100 people, which that could have easily been.
Well, I think it also maybe gets back to the whole idea of personal responsibility, and somehow many folks on the left just don't, just the idea of just the average person having a firearm, to them, they feel that there's fear and they feel threatened by that. They just assume that you can't handle that responsibility. And that's kind of, they say, you come to us for your help. Like you mentioned in the urbanized versus if you're in a rural area, you had to be self-sufficient.
No one's coming.
Yeah.
You got to take care of each other.
Right. And still in today's world, I don't care where you live, people have used the thing, you know, when seconds count, the police are only minutes away.
That's absolutely true. And we have no idea how many things were avoided simply because the key in having this across the society, if you're not comfortable with firearms, then don't buy one. But the key is they don't know who's armed and who isn't, because we're all entitled to be armed. And we can, if we're law-abiding citizens, secure, you know, a permit to even carry on our person. So they, with that freedom, it says, I don't know that I can get away with my mischief in this environment.
Right.
Where
it's a deterrent.
If you put a sign on your house that says, you know, we believe in gun control and we don't have firearms, I don't see anybody putting those signs up.
They actually did that in New York. I want to say it was in the early 1970s. There was a neighborhood group that decided they were going to do that. They're very anti-gun, and they put up signs. And sure enough, the crime rate went up in those areas. Their homes were broken into. They were taken advantage of. They finally figured it out, and they took the signs down.
I believe that about gun-free zones everywhere. It's made people a target. Yeah. Why do these things happen in these gatherings? Because people are there, and they're... Any area that's marked as a gun-free zone becomes, in our great intention to protect people by not having any firearms there. Well, unfortunately, you have a large group of people that try to live by the rules. Thankfully, mm-hmm. We do govern at the consent of the governed. And there's a small subset that does these things, mm-hmm. and they don't live by the rules. So you can pass all the gun control you want. They're fine with that. Because they don't live by any of those rules. It's already illegal to go in and shoot up a school.
Thank you, Joe
Biden.
But yet
it invites this kind of thing because it invites the coward, the one who is not going to face opposition. And, yep, we definitely agree on that. And then on top of it, and we want to move on to this topic in the next segment, talk about this rollback of sentencing and also the idea of people not having to post bail. And how problematic these things may be. I want to get your take on it as we continue talking to State Senator from District 12, Dennis Baxley. We'll continue this conversation next on 97.3 The Sky. It's 8:21 on the Bob Rose Show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Happy, happy Friday, my friend. Special guest in the studio, State Senator of District 12, Dennis Baxley. Huge supporter of the Second Amendment, actually expanding our rights here in the Sunshine State, and we appreciate that. I want to move ahead, though. There's this talk about rolling back sentences, criminal justice reform, and maybe not serving 85% of the sentence, maybe rolling that back. What are your thoughts and feelings on that?
Well, you know, I got to look at a lot of this, and I was chair of criminal justice at one point and chair of judiciary in the Florida House, and then I am on judiciary now in the Senate, and I have been on the criminal justice. And so I've had a good look at this, and I asked the speaker when they first asked me to take that in the House, I said, why do you want me to do that? I don't really have a background there per se, you know, professionally or anything. And he says, well, we know you believe in accountability, but we know you also believe in redemption. And that's where I lie, that there has to be a pathway back to life to restore people. And what we do during that time they're with us is critical. And some of them are very hardened, and you will not reach them. But there are many that you can redirect, and I think there should be some pathway forward. So I am in favor of some of the reforms that we got an awful lot of stuff that got piled on suspension of license. And then that gets to snowballing, and they get to where they wind up in prison. And so because they haven't paid fees, I mean, it's a pattern of not you know, being able to handle responsibilities right in your life. And it gets worse when they ignore the rules. And but they're not a hazard to anybody. They're not a danger to anybody. And they're usually getting arrested on driving on with suspended license because they're trying to go to work. And we want them to work and pay their way out and pay their own way. So I think there needs to be some adjusting. But I do believe very much in our bail bond system, which some people want to get rid of that and just use government-provided diversion programs. I don't. I believe for many people, their bail bonds agent becomes a partner in their life and may be the first accountability partner mm-hmm. they ever really had.
Right.
Because you will show up or they will come and get you.
Yeah, how I always looked at it is, if you haven't been responsible enough to put any money aside to bail yourself out, you have no friend or family member that is willing to, in other words, vouch for you, and they're vouching for you with their own money. When you've run out of all that, you've run those people, you've run through the cycle of family and friends, that concerns me that you could still just walk out.
Well, and here's the issue. You know, you've got this accountability piece. At some point, somebody has to help you own that. And I've had many people say, well, my son got arrested. But in this drug culture and in this gang culture, what happens is other forces are ruling their thinking system. And they're getting in these situations, and at some point, I tell parents, look, do not bail them out. They're safer there than running the street. They're going to get killed out there mm-hmm. in a bad drug deal or something's going to go wrong. So if they're involved in stuff that is getting them into the prison and getting them arrested that's of substance of this nature, you're better off knowing where they are, because in the street they will die. And many people in prison will tell you that taking them into incarceration is what forced the change in their life, and they would probably be dead.
Real quick, and we got to end it on this one, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, and I'm not picking on State Senator Keith Perry. I do have to ask, though, because when I had a conversation with him, he voted for something in committee, and he called it a courtesy vote, and it may not turn out to impact our Second Amendment rights, but it doesn't send a positive signal out to people who are concerned, especially it's heightened lately with Virginia, what's going on there. Have you ever heard of such a thing as a courtesy vote? How can he avoid this in the future?
Well, I think it's very important for members to hold on to core convictions and know what they believe. I can honestly say no leader, the Senate president or the speaker, has ever asked me specifically to violate my core convictions. But you got to know before you get there, you know, because there are scrambles in meetings and you get surprise issues brought up. You had no time to think through or prepare. You're getting things whispered to you about what needs to happen. And it's very difficult. But I've never walked on a vote, and I've made some votes that some folks didn't like. But I know what I believe, and I had to follow those convictions.
Would you ever vote on anything that would put our Second Amendment rights in peril?
I have never voted on for anything that would diminish your rights for self-protection under the Second Amendment, and I don't plan to.
Thank you. State Senator Keith Baxley.
I am Dennis Keith Baxley. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. It was written right here.
Now, Bob is so smart. He just, you know.
Dennis Baxley, State Senator, District 12. Thank you, sir, for your time. Appreciate it.
Hey, and come on up and see us. It's your government, and it's actually going quite well right now, other than a few bumps. There's always a few.
Road trip.